Good morning. Welcome, everyone. Glad you can be here. Glad we can share fellowship together. Good to see some familiar faces, and it's as we gradually gain our comfort back. And I'm glad each of us being very careful to do our very best. I do want to start out with some announcements this morning. The Kids Club's meeting downstairs, and we're grateful for Julie and her help there as we really want to provide that warm, loving, encouraging time for our young people. And then our next announcement is that tonight's service, 5 p.m., contemporary service. Sarah's got a great message for us. I looked it over, and you got to see the video. You got to see the video. I'll just say that. And it'll be a great time. And after that is a special event, which Mrs. Marcolino will now tell us about. That's you.
Okay. Can we ask you to go to the 30-hour famine slide?
There we go.
Thank you. So we are in the process of doing the 30-hour famine. The youth group and I have not been eating since noon yesterday. We're a little hungry. We are still talking about some food here and there. And we're looking forward to 6 o'clock when we can actually start to eat again, which just so happens to be right after the relevant service. So after the relevant service, we are having a potluck dinner. I know we have a couple of meals coming, which is extremely exciting, and the kids are already looking forward, like, can you tell us what it is? Can you tell us what the food's going to be? But they're learning so much during this process. So far, we have played different games to kind of help explain to them what kind of goes on in some of these countries that they don't have enough to do. We're following a girl this weekend called Kapinga, and she is from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Her family, or I should say she and her siblings, are living with the grandmother. The father was killed by the militia, and her mother is off looking for work. So right now she's kind of taking care of her siblings with her grandmother and any little income they can have. She can no longer go to school, and they're hoping that at some point when mom finds work, she can go back. So we are supporting children like her this weekend. Our goal is to raise $2,000, and as of, I think it was 10 minutes ago, we have $1,080. So if you are willing to help us get to this goal of $2,000, we would greatly appreciate it. You can put it into an envelope saying World Vision, into the collection. You can also put in a check that's directly to World Vision. So that way all of the money will go directly to them. So thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing you today at 6 o'clock as we celebrate the end of the fast, the 30 hours. Thank you.
Thank you. Good job. Tell the kids we're proud of them. Yeah, you guys. All right, great. Now let's go back to that VBS slide. Coming up, August 9 to 13, chance to have just that joyful, positive impact in the lives of young people. This will take place from 9 a.m. to 12 noon on that Monday to Friday, the Rocky Railway. We've got some fun set for it. That's why you've got a railroad crossing in the hallway, in case you wondered about that. The Boston and Maine has not made a major change in route, I assure you. But we are very glad that we can have this coming up. And so there are some particular things needed. Games leaders, people to help out with that. Back to the VBS. There you go, thank you. People to help with the different groups and what they call imagination station. There's a real opportunity for hands-on learning with this Vacation Bible School curriculum. So again, you can see Sarah about it. She still has sfuller at fcchanson.org for her email. And so you can get more information on that. Okay, you wanted to show us the Family Fun Day task. I think that's where we're at now. And that's the day after VBS ends. So that's a fun time on the town hall lawn and from 9 to 3. And these supplies help us be able to pack backpacks, school bags for children. And they are provided with great help from the Salvation Army, which is a major group helping to make this happen. So there's bins for you to make those contributions, all those items. They say Crayola crayons because apparently the constitution of the China ones are not necessarily safe, especially if a kid gets to biting, so or chewing. So they encourage the Crayola on that one. So great. And then the tech team is so important to the new life of church. Right, you know, so many folk and everybody joining us today, we're really glad that you are with us online. And we know that the tech team really helps make it happen. And there are always new opportunities for that. And it can be very, very helpful. And so if folks want to help out with that, please see Frank afterward. And he would be very glad to have you join. We're very glad that Xavier Spriggs is helping out also today and will be in the future, and we appreciate that. Thank you, Xavier. All righty. Well, those are our early announcements. Please take note of your announcements on the bulletin inside about the fun day and all the different events there. And let's stand together as Shirley leads us in our call to worship.
Call to worship today is taken from Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples.
Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful works.
Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually.
For he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant.
So he brought his people out with joy, his chosen ones with singing.
Please remain standing for our new song.
And this one is called You Are My All in All, and we are speaking again, singing to our Lord directly.
You are my strength when I am weak.
Thanks. Please be seated. Very grateful for everyone who lets us know how we can be praying. Grateful for the just the opportunity to be people of God together, knowing that when many pray as one, great things happen. The Lord indwells these prayers. Please join me. God, thank you for being the one who fills our cup when we're dry, who gives us strength in our times of weakness, who gives us guidance in times of perplexity. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that because of you, our lives are not point A to point B and then done, but rather you have made us for yourself and for eternity. Help us in this life you give us here to honor you by what we say and do. We give you thanks, God, that our dear Debbie Colley is finding the pain easing from the surgeries she's had and her condition. We're thankful for that being improved. Thank you for sustaining Mike Hammond, who had an injury on the job, and pray you continue that healing. Protect him from any further complication, and please give peace to his wife and children, to his sisters, including Michelle, and to Mike Sr. and Carol, his parents. Help that healing process to continue. Also pray for Katie Gonvier, Donna's sister. She's facing cancer seriously. That you would be touching her, be present to her. And Lord, we would ask for healing for her. We ask God for you to have your hand on all those who are concerned with public health and the difficult challenges there. We pray for there to be a relieving, especially internationally and in more heavily afflicted areas of our own country, that the tide of this pandemic would be turned in all places, and that we would soon be able to see it completely in our rearview mirrors. Lord, we ask you to be with those who are grieving, especially the family of Bob McDougall, his loved ones as well. For all of past, Lord, for all who are still adjusting to life without a loved one, please be comforting them and encouraging them. God, we thank you for our young people and the 30-hour famine and what it means for them, and that they demonstrate that they are wanting to do service to others because of your love inside them. And thank you, God, that this can make a difference. And for all the young people like that girl in the Congo and her family and thousands and sadly even millions like her, we pray, Lord, not only for abundant food to be produced, but to be equitably distributed, and for all causes that create food insecurity to be overcome. We thank you that you came as one who fed the multitudes. We ask, Lord, your compassion and grace for folks facing natural disasters and with perhaps unnatural causes. Lord, whether it be the floods in Europe, the fires in the western half of our country, each of these areas, we pray for mercy, your grace upon those responding to the emergency situations, and also for your tempering of weathers so that these things might be overcome. Lord, for our daughter and granddaughter seeking approval to move, a hearing delayed till this Tuesday, we pray for it to be successful, that you'd grant favor in the eyes of the judge. Be present in each of our homes, Lord, that your love and encouragement might be the watchwords of each home, that there would be a kindness and mutual service, that in our relationships, marriages, parents, children, friendships, and so much more, in our work relationships, we would show ourselves to belong to you and offer a hope to this world that things or the grasping of power will never accomplish. So thank you, God. Help us to live in a way that pleases you. We ask this in Jesus' name and pray as he taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Stand if you're able, and we'll sing our song of thanksgiving. I love you, Lord.
We also want to take our time now and offer a prayer. I've got to get the offering in here. I kind of skipped over it. But thank you each for the way you support the church. We don't pass a play right now, and there's baskets in the back. If anybody wants to do that, we encourage you for that. We thank you for that. We are in a position of seeking to serve God with the ministries of this church, but also with the missions of this church. I had a fellow contact me from Kenya, wants to give me an update. I'm going to have a Zoom call with him this Wednesday, and I'll give you an impact on that, on still what's going on around the world. But also, if folks are watching online, know that you can go to the Donate tab on our website, fcchanson.org, and just click there. Folks in the pews, there are QR codes in the on the tabs in the little holder in front of you. And also, folks mail donations to 639 High Street in Hanson. But let's dedicate these gifts to God. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that yours is cattle on a thousand hills. Yours is the earth and all that is in it. Your hand is never too short. And we know that your work done your way will not lack your supply. But we also know that you call us to invest in your purposes, to use what we've been given to honor the one who gives us life. And so, Lord, we do, in whatever way we are making our gift, we together offer it to you. And we ask, Lord, that you would cause each of those funds to be used in a way that brings you honor, to be used with integrity, and that you would bless those purposes, that your kingdom expand, for we know this world needs you more each day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you would you give attention to our first scripture reading from the book of Matthew?
Okay, this is Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth.
Thank you, Shirley. It's disconcerting when you look at your sermon manuscript and the first thing you see is page 9. Let's put that near the back. What do you say? And now you're saying 9 pages, double spaced, it'll be okay. Have you ever seen those ads for an app where you store all of your passwords? I mean, after all, how many of your elementary school teachers can you name? And to be honest, that deer in the headlights look you get when you try to go back to a site, does this happen to you? You haven't been there for months, and you think, oh no, what did I say was my password? It's like forgetting your middle school locker combination. It's embarrassing even if no one's there to see you. So a password app is a great solution, right? One spot on your phone where you keep them all on an app designed for that purpose, well, it could be nicer, right? So long as hackers don't know it exists. It's like a big red bullseye. Hack here, find treasure. My bank information, my credit card numbers, my private information. You know, it's not just hackers. You know, we're trusting that all the employees of the company that makes the app are honest or not desperate. And, you know, maybe they work, and maybe I don't understand something. But the idea always seemed a little shifty to me. I think we can all agree that security is hard to find these days. And even if you don't do business online because of concerns like I just raised, your banks do. Your utility company does. And even just a little stolen identity can mess up your day. And there are more areas than just online activity that we need security in. Are you secure in your relationships? Do you have trustworthy friends and loved ones? Do you place your heart where it is safe? Where your vulnerability won't be taken advantage of. And didn't or hasn't the pandemic show us that health is a bigger deal for all of us? A former colleague of mine, a pastor of a large church in Connecticut who was particularly kind to me, was living what he thought were the early years of a vigorous retirement when COVID cut him down. And I expect we all have a story like that. Maybe more than one, but we all know someone. So I ask the newspaper ad question aloud, because I think we are all asking, is there security anywhere? Now, for some reason, I'm doing more funerals, really, than any other time in my life. And only a few have been COVID victims. And for a while, there was a trend away from funerals. A local funeral director told me there would often just be a private burial and people would mumble a couple of nice words about the deceased and go then drown their sorrows. But now it's as if what we've all been through has made us aware that this life can't be all there is. Now, there are a lot of inadequate places to put your trust. You know, don't put your trust in horses, the scriptures say. What he's saying is armies aren't enough. A bank vault is not enough. Friends are important, but they're as mortal as you and I. We are like the grass that grows, bright green, nice and tall, gets cut down, and blows away when the wind takes it. So sometimes when we're about to embark on a new part of our lives, nervousness sets in. Yeah, I've seen my share of jittery brides and sweaty-palmed grooms. When parents drop a young adult child off at college, at least one generation is nervous. Even worse can be when you find yourself carrying more debt than you can handle. It feels like there's a slave master whipping you back to work to earn more so you can pay the bank, or the car dealer, or the credit card company. So many things can rob you of sleep. We need help in the present and hope for the future. Is there a way to be secure? Yes. Focusing on God's power and his presence breeds confidence. That's the message of today's scripture lesson, particularly as we look at the Old Testament prophet Haggai. I've benefited greatly from a study on this book written by Anne Graham Lotz. She might sound familiar. She's the daughter of Billy Graham. She provided the title of this series, An Open Letter to the Weary. Curiously, she wrote it 12 years ago. I thought, must have been a response to the situation. We've been getting weary over a lot of things. Because the past can interfere with both our present and our future, the first step towards turning our focus away from all the causes of insecurity and onto God as the source of our security, first step is to close the door on the past. And let's look at the first section of our sermon text for today. I want to read to you Haggai 2 and just verses 1 to 3 as a start. In the second year of King Darius, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you that saw this house," speaking of the temple, "in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing?" Leaves it right there. If any organization keeps living in the past and in the glory years that, you ever notice this, keep getting better the longer ago they were, it will not be able to participate in the good that God has for them in the present. So that's why security begins with close the door on the past. Last week we learned that Haggai was writing to the Jews who had returned to the ruined city of Jerusalem after the exile to Babylon and Persia. The remnant of Israel, those that returned, they'd enthusiastically begun to rebuild the great temple that was the center of Jewish culture. But after a few local bullies used lame bureaucracy to slow down the rebuilding, most of the Jews took the path of least resistance. They focused on rebuilding their own houses and let the temple project rot and rust. But here in these three verses, we learn another reason for their discouragement. Many of the older community members were focused on how much grander the original temple of Solomon had been compared to what they were rebuilding now. And there's a reason for that, because when Solomon was king, all the surrounding nations were bringing tribute to the nation of Israel in the form of gold and other valuables. You know, the budget was not a problem. But God has an answer for their discouragement, and he unfolds it gradually in these nine verses. Right now, he acknowledges their grief. They're sad for the loss of what has been. But as Jeremiah, another prophet of the exile, said, "The mercies of God are new every morning." God's got new mercies for you this morning and tomorrow morning. A defeatist attitude is never of God. It's got a different source, and we don't need to listen to it. But they need to close the door on the past. They need to stop looking back. Because what you focus on makes all the difference. One of the biggest helps I received from Angram Lotz's study had to do with our New Testament lesson today that Shirley gave us. On the second half of it, Jesus speaks on how it matters whether your eye has light in it or not. And for the longest time, I got to tell you, I just didn't get this passage. It always sounded either obvious and therefore kind of unimportant or obscure. If your eye is full of light or darkness, means whether or not you could physically see, then yeah, it's going to make a difference. But Captain Obvious is right too. But if Jesus meant something more than that, I had no idea what he was talking about. But this is Angram Lotz's suggestion. What if we translate the word for eye as focus? You know, what you're focusing on. Substituting focus for eyes is reasonable because your focus is what you set your eyes on. You know, what are you focused on? What are you aiming for? What kind of fills your realm of sight? And if we do that, then Jesus is saying, if what you're focusing on is good and right, then your life, your whole body will be healthy. But if you're aiming for the wrong things, then all of your life will be an uphill battle. That makes the best sense of this passage for me. What's more, the choice in the last verse between God and the local idol of wealth, or mammon, you may have heard, this confirms it to me. The core question of whether you will pursue God or earthly stuff will determine the trajectory of your life. It will determine the trajectory of your life. How are you measuring success? Make sure you're serving the master who deserves to be served. Think about Nehemiah. He was a man, a Jew, forced to be a servant in the house of the Persian king, who lived at the beginning of the exile, when the Jews were just beginning to return to the promised land. He received word of all the destruction that had been done to the Jerusalem he loved. And when I read about him hearing about the destruction to Jerusalem, I think of a time I visited Manhattan within a month after 9/11. I had some idea of viewing where the towers had gone down, the site there, until I saw the line that went on for blocks and blocks. And I realized those are mainly native New Yorkers. And I realized they had much more right and need to survey the damage than I had ever did. Just seeing how they felt watching and hearing from a couple people who did see it gives me a sense of a little of how Nehemiah felt. But he didn't dwell on what used to be. We can learn from him how to overcome the past, because after learning what had happened, Nehemiah poured out his pain to God, but also understood God to be calling him to do what he could do about the problem. For him, it was rebuilding the walls of the city, an essential security prerequisite before rebuilding the temple. You know, I met with a man this week who's facing a difficult challenge with a low chance of success. But I told him sometimes that what we do is important in spite of the circumstances, that God may be working something else out in the process, something different than what we think is the purpose. You never know. We do our part and let God put the pieces together. Don't dwell on the past, be obedient in the present. And after closing the door on the past, Haggai would have you next commit yourself to the present. Listen as I read verses 4 and 5. There we go. Yet now take courage, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Take courage, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Take courage, all you people of the land, says the Lord. Work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the promise that I made you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit abides among you. Do not fear. Three aspects of this present become especially important when the past has held us prisoner. First of all, we commit to the Lord in the present time. I like how the Word of God recognizes the grief that the Jews feel about what they have lost, the grief they feel. But the prophet says, but now. We can only do what needs to be done in the present if we make our focus the present time. That was then, this is now. Believing in God always means obeying God. God has something for his people to do in their present task. Three times in that passage, God says, take courage, literally stand strong. Three times. Take courage. Take courage. Do you think he meant it? He tells two different leaders and then the rest of the people there. In chapter 1, he told them that now was the time to rebuild the temple. And so now is the time for you and me to build the church of the future. And the church of the future may not be as building focused as it has been. I don't think there's much more build it and they will come. The church of the future will recognize that our neighbors have little of what it means to live in the grace of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus is not merely a teacher. He's a savior. He's the hope of our lives. We come to the end of ourselves and we say, thank you, God, that you are there for us. Just as the Israelites needed to stand strong and stick to their task of building in spite of opposition, so we need to testify to the goodness of Jesus Christ, even when everything about the life we have in him is misrepresented by popular media. Persecution has happened before. It needn't stop us. Take courage. Stand strong. And then the third present is the most important. Commit yourself to the present God. And I don't mean the God of the present time, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I mean the God who is present with his people. Israel can stick to their task. They can stand strong and take courage because God has committed himself to them. In verse 5, he reminds them that he entered into a sacred covenant, made a promise with the nation of Israel. God does not back down on his promises. You know, one of the great joys of Christmas is that the promised Savior had come. God had remembered his promise to rescue his people. And through a descendant of Abraham, his promise to bless the world. In the same way, the people of God then and now can stand strong because God is present with them. He says, my spirit stands with you, so do not fear. Don't ever fail to do the right thing because you are afraid. God keeps his promises. He will keep you. Obedience is the safest place to be. But God knows that we tremble. He knows that our air of self-sufficiency is usually based on one of the false securities we talked about at the beginning. But God wants to give us real security. So listen to what he says in the final portion of our passage, Haggai 2, 6 to 9. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once again, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, so that the treasure of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. In this place I will give prosperity, says the Lord of hosts. the treasure of the nations shall come. Also translated, desire of nations. J.B. Phillips wrote an outstanding book called Your God is Too Small. In our daily lives, we run into problems when we don't see God as he truly is, when we don't see his power and his presence. And this is why Haggai urges Israel, pleads with them, open your eyes to God. So what does God's word say to those who are looking back at the old temple and the way things used to be? Look at verse 9 there. Greater will be the latter glory of this house than the former. Here's the mind blower. The superiority of this new temple they're building will have nothing to do with architecture or building supplies. Here they are building 570-ish BC. Don't have the budget of Solomon. Whenever you look at a Bible passage, notice the words and phrases that are repeated. And in those last four verses, you keep seeing the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts. And this is not hosts like the maitre d' at a restaurant. This is not the guy who threw the party. When Eugene Peterson made his translation of the Bible called the Message, he always translates Lord of hosts as God of the angel armies. And that's a whole lot closer to what we're after here, what he's writing. You've heard the phrase, you know, there were whole hosts of soldiers coming at me, or whole hosts of mosquitoes swarming around me. Didn't matter. God has many hosts of angels. And every one of those angels, should it be seen by a human being, the first thing the angel has to say is, fear not. So these aren't cute cherubs. God's armies of angels. He has plenty of power to accomplish what he wants to have done. Do not fear. And the action is that God is going to shake the earth. He says he will upset the foreign nations so they will come in humility before him. When Jesus stood in the temple and declared that his Father's house was to be a house of prayer for all nations, not only was he saying that the time was going to come when all the earth would be blessed through him, he was also fulfilling the prophecy that the new temple would be greater than the old, because God incarnate never set foot in Solomon's temple. The glory of the new one will succeed because of who was in it. And then the foreign nations, the Goyim, will fear God. They will quake, but they will come to the desire of nations. And we have seen that insofar as the task of world mission has gone. From Kenya to India, from Korea to Brazil, people of every nation and tongue find that Christ heals the human heart. He takes our hurting hearts and heals. He is the desire of nations to which all the nations come. And that's another verse. I think I referenced the Advent hymn, O Come Emmanuel, before. But there's that desire of nations. O come, desire of nations, bind all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid thou our sad division cease, and be thyself our Prince of Peace. Nations haven't always gotten along, they don't yet. When the blitzkrieg of Hitler had overrun Western Europe, so that England was fighting alone, Prime Minister Winston Churchill used his one weapon, his unparalleled command of the English language. And he addressed the nation and said, we shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight in the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. And even if, which I do not for a moment believe, this island or a large part of it were subjugated and starving, then our empire beyond the seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, would carry on the struggle until, in God's good time, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of the old. Why read that? Well, even though France as a nation was overrun by the Nazis, the French resistance, partnering with French-speaking countries in Africa and elsewhere, continued the battle. Canada and other nations in the British Commonwealth came to the aid of Great Britain. And ultimately, the United States, poster boy for the new world, if you will, joined the battle as well. The quest for world domination in the twisted heart of a mad dictator showed itself to be, shall we say, ill-advised, because the free world had more means of defeating him than he had reckoned upon. In an even greater way, don't look back. Never be discouraged. In an even greater way, God has more means of achieving his goals at his disposal than we can ever know. The God of hosts, the Lord of the angel armies, is with you. So you can stand strong. You can close the door on the past, commit to God in the present, and open your eyes to God from now on. Focusing on God's power and presence breeds the confidence we all need to face whatever comes our way with obedience and with security. Stand strong in the Lord. Let's pray. God, I don't know the challenges facing everybody here and others hearing my voice now, but you do. Some folk are having a hard time even knowing what direction to go. Oh, be our focus, please. And for those who do know the task because the threat is right in front of them, give them grace and strength, Lord. Reinforce their efforts, multiply them. Show yourself, O Lord, the great overcomer. Help us to abide in you. Thank you that in you we are safe, in you we are secure, in you is the victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's a good, sweet hymn to close with, Christ Beside Me. It's number 543 in your hymnal. Just a reminder, please stay with us. Unless you're on the 30-hour famine, join us for goodies. I'm sorry. But please stay and enjoy fellowship together after. Almighty God sent us into this world in the fullness of the power of your Holy Spirit, encouraged by your presence within us and among us, that your kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven. For Jesus' sake, amen.